This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Just like that, the final hour is here. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. On this Thursday edition, fast-paced show, 6th and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Schedule release tonight across the National Football League. We already know the season opener. Kicking off the season, of course, the Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs, hosting the Detroit Lions on Thursday, September 7th. NBC, of course, has the first Thursday night game, and then they'll transition to Amazon and all things Amazon Prime. But, Chad, I think it's a big statement by the league to send the Lions on the road to open the season against KC. However, the last time that Kansas City won the Super Bowl, they opened the following season against the Cleveland Browns, who had a ton of hype behind them with Baker Mayfield.
They did.
And they played well. They had a furious comeback in the fourth. I think the game was like a 4 or 7 point game. It didn't feel that close, but Cleveland felt like a team that you could get behind then. Detroit feels that way right now.
Yeah, I like the setup of champion versus lovable loser with expectation. That was the Chiefs-Browns matchup that year. That's Chiefs-Lions now this year. They are the Chicago Cubs of the NFL for years and years.
You like that better than Tampa and Dallas?
Yeah, I do. I like it because, to me, there's clearly
Hopefully it's a better game.
Well, there's clearly a setup of this team has been there and done that, and they're a championship team, and they're Super Bowl champs, versus here is this market and fan base and team that is starved for anything of what this team has. I like that versus, look, you're not going to go wrong opening night NFL Thursday night. They're going to get a good matchup. But I like that as opposed to the either two behemoth powerhouse past champions or two major market teams accustomed to winning going head-to-head that haven't won a championship recently. I really like this Chiefs-Lions matchup to open the season for that reason.
Most of the games kicking off the season will be on September the 10th. September 11th is on a Monday. The Monday Night Football game, Bills and Jets, will open the season on Monday Night Football. Other just games of interest, the Super Bowl rematch will happen the week prior to Thanksgiving. That'll be week 11 where you'll get to see Kansas City and Philadelphia. That has also been announced. Beyond that, Chad, just some interesting matchups. Dolphins-Jets, I've pointed out, fascinating to me. They put that on Amazon Prime on that Black Friday, the first Black Friday game, because you get one injury or a couple, it changes the perception of a Thursday night football schedule, which was the joke last year. No fault of the schedule makers at this time last year. You know, when we're ripping the schedule in October, we're not thinking about what we're saying in May when the schedule comes out. But a lot can happen between now and then.
It also works both ways. We will get the occasional matchup that surprises that we're not thinking anything about right now that'll turn out to be a marquee game late in the season.
Cowboys are going to be on the first Sunday night football game of the season. That's no surprise because they draw a massive audience. They'll be sprinkled throughout the schedule. But
I wonder the last time the Cowboys were not in a prime window on opening weekend. On either Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, or late afternoon national window to open the season. Like, when was the last time the Cowboys just played at noon
in
on a kickoff weekend, week one?
Yeah. It hasn't been for a while.
Since
they've spread out all the different media partners, that's for sure. NBA, it's been a while since I've been intrigued in the NBA playoffs this early on and sticking with it, but it keeps delivering. Saw it last night. The Warriors, they finally returned serve, even though Steph Curry was cold. He hit three threes, 3 for 11, 3 for 12, still put up 20 plus. But the storyline remains that can they win on the road? And now LA still gets a chance to close them out later this weekend. I think they will.
I think, yeah, Anthony Davis situation's one to watch with a shot to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But if Anthony Davis can play, I'm going to say exactly what I said last night about the Warriors at home. I'll be saying the same thing about the Lakers at home simply because the Warriors have been awful on the road all season. I don't expect that to change in this series. I think the Lakers probably close it out in game six.
And the Knicks, they get a win. They don't let Miami close it out. And now we get to see a longer series in that, too. It's a win-win for the NBA. Yesterday, the storyline was we could potentially see in the NBA Finals an 8 seed and a 7 seed. And now that's still up for grabs in all this. Philadelphia, they take a game lead last night. So they have a chance to, they have a game lead. They have a chance to close out Boston tonight. And Denver can do the same.
Boston was really bad last night. I got to watch a lot of the second half of that game.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, but the Suns.
Well, in their last game.
Tonight.
Two nights ago, they were awful.
Now they're in Philly.
Yeah,
that's two bad performances in Boston by the Celtics.
I was surprised they were that bad in Boston. Knicks Heat last night. The Knicks got it going a little bit late in that game, but I just still they're up 19 in the second half.
The Heat had
and
a
they
furious,
could not just put them away. And when you leave Duncan Robinson over, he's going to make you open. He's going to make you pay. Lowry, I thought, was really good for the Heat also. There's not been one time in this series, Hutton, where I felt like the Knicks were a better team than the Heat, even when the Knicks were winning. When they win at home, I still feel like the Heat are far superior to this Knicks team.
Chad, some NFL scheduling leaks coming out. You ready for a few of them?
I'm always ready for schedule leaks.
The Giants. It'll be the Giants and the Cowboys.
Were these supposed to come out on a show or something? Is there still a scheduled show for
this?
No,
but... No. Well, there will be a show tonight, but here's why they're leaked. It's because all the teams, they already know their schedule. They were told this either late last night or early this morning because their social media teams need time to prep these release videos.
Yeah, they've got the videos to get ready.
So it's hard to keep everything silent. Not every team's schedule is out. But Cowboys are going to be on Sunday Night Football against the Giants to open week one. They will also be on the road against the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. So they do have a handful of primetime games. Also, Derek Carr, this from Ari Meroff, who we had on from the 33rdteam.com. Derek Carr will make his regular season debut with the Saints at home in week one against the Tennessee Titans. So you'll see either Tannehill or Levis on the road against Derek Carr, according to the 33rdteam.com in week one.
I'm okay with that.
New Orleans.
That's probably a good week one matchup for those two teams.
So we had a event at Top Golf last weekend and got a text as we're playing on the third level. You know, Top Golf, by the way. You know how you come across things, you're like, why didn't I think of this? A bowling alley for golf, meaning you can be any skill level and have a great time. You can absolutely be horrific at playing golf and have a great time at Top Golf.
Well, we had the one, too, about Nolan Ryan's investment in what's basically the baseball version of that, where you can go hit in a batting cage, but you get your own bays.
You get your own bays for the batting cages.
Your own bartender, basically, and food set up and all
wiffle
that.
Ball. There's a wiffle ball field.
It is too easy of a good idea for me to think that we didn't have this a long, long time ago.
I met some of the investors with the one here, and they said it costs on average about $40 million to get going in one spot. And then from there, within the first couple of months, you can not get your money back, but you feel pretty comfortable about your investment.
Yeah, that you're going to make it back in a relatively short amount of time.
So I got a text, and I went down and met Will Levis, Titans current third-string quarterback, if you want to believe the fact that he's actually behind Malik Willis right now in the depth chart, which is not true, and the backup to Ryan Tannehill. And I went up and said hello to him, introduced myself, and I just said, hey, welcome to town. I want to let you know, I'm not happy with the pick. I've been talking trash. But if you go in and you want to beat out Ryan Tannehill, I'm all for it. Cover the SEC. We've certainly covered your games. You're welcome on the show anytime. Very cool dude. And he just simply responded by saying, hey, man, all good. I've heard nothing but trash talked about me throughout this draft process. So it's you know, all fair. I'm like, all perfect. So their first rookie outing at Topgolf the same night we were all out
there. This made me feel better about the pick when you said his reaction to you coming right up and just stating, I have talked a lot of trash about you, and he just rolled with it.
Yeah, and I said, like, I told you trash about the fact that I wouldn't have picked you, you know, with their pick in the 11th overall pick or the number one overall.
Yeah.
I mentioned, you know, ripping Mel Kiper, whatever.
Mayonnaise in his coffee. Cool dude. Just kept going on all the reasons he doesn't like him.
No, didn't mention any of that. But I did come across over the weekend the survey. And I want to get you and Davey to chime in on the survey of Will Levis. Because the perception of Will Levis, I think, is different than how I read this survey that he took, which is given to all the rookies. You name, like, hey, spell your first, middle, last name, your parents' names, your pets' names, different things, fun facts, whatever. That's how they come up with the media guide bio. Instead of just what you did at Kentucky, what you did at Alabama, what you did at USC, whatever. Tell me where it meets the perception you have of Will Levis.
Okay.
Family members currently or previously in the military. His grandfather served in the Air Force in Vietnam. Okay.
Good.
The thing or things people find most interesting about you. He wrote, well-rounded in athletics and academics, graduated magna cum laude.
Okay. Sounds like, you know, a solid student.
This is where you're going to love.
Phi Beta Kappa.
Will Levis. Superstitions or pregame rituals? None.
Oh. I'm a fan. That's making me move more in his direction.
None. Love it.
Big fan of that.
Significance of jersey number? None.
Okay. Hutton, don't make me like this guy.
Chad, your thoughts so
don't
far.
Don't make me recant everything that I've said about Will Levis thus far.
Of course, he wore 7 at Kentucky. He's wearing 8 now in the NFL. No significance
I like
whatsoever.
Both those answers.
It would be weird for them to make Malik switch numbers.
Also,
well, he can get 7 back soon.
Also, hilarious, but yeah.
Degree earned, yes or no? Yes. Undergrad, PSU, graduate, Kentucky.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't realize he actually graduated from Penn State.
I mean,
he was magna cum laude. I don't know if you heard that, Dave, in the previous answer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I thought it was just for Kentucky.
I love this answer. Name of spouse / fiance, if it applies.
All right,
you ready?
Yep.
Girlfriend. He wrote girlfriend. Name of spouse, fiance, girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Chad, your thoughts?
That makes me question him a little bit because I don't know if he's trying to be cute. If he's trying to be a little bit cheeky
answer. I think it's brilliant. He's letting everyone know he's taken without saying none. He's letting everyone know he's taken without saying none. It's a brilliant move.
I would have preferred him put in a.
It is a brilliant move.
Not applicable because he does not have a fiance or wife.
Davey, if you had a girlfriend, sorry, I mean this respectfully.
Yeah, no, go with that. We've talked about my dating life.
If you had a girlfriend, would you write girlfriend on this sheet?
Probably not if it's asking for a spouse or fiance.
It says name of fiance or wife. So you put NA, not applicable. You don't have one. They're asking for their name.
He saved himself an argument. And he did it nonchalant. I respect him for it.
I mean, Outkick's already writing articles about Gia. Like,
I've seen her weekend. everyone has. It's on the front page of the site if you go there. I would have liked it more, Hutton, if he put girlfriend and then, is it Gia is her name, Davey?
Yes.
Girlfriend / Gia. Because the question, I'm nitpicking, but you got to nitpick the quarterback position. Sounds like a guy doesn't know how to follow instructions. Because that's not what the question is asking.
No,
if you want to clarify, girlfriend.
Sounds like a guy who's
I'm good with that.
The opposite of what I expected here, okay? Football role model. Grandfather. He ended every conversation with, quote, never give up, which is the meaning behind the tattoo on his arm, 2 Chronicles 15:7. The verse says, but as for you, stay strong and do not give up, for your effort will be rewarded. Thoughts?
I like that he's into his granddad, who also served in the military. I don't like my quarterback with a bicep tat. Just being honest.
All right.
Don't like when the guy drops back and he pulls it back and he's got 2 Chronicles across the bye. Not a big fan.
I would like to know another player that he wants to emulate his game after. So I don't know if they're just asking for one person there. Yeah. There's like his football role model, mentor.
Oh, if he'd gotten really specific with the player, you know, like someone just off the wall that he would have gone with as his guy. Like if he said Chad Pennington as his role model growing up in Connecticut or whatever. Like, that would have been
Massachusetts.
So specific that I would have loved that. He's from Connecticut.
He's currently living in Massachusetts, sorry.
Yeah, he's from Connecticut.
He was working with Matt Hasselbeck throughout the draft process. That's been his mentor through this process. Top three artists you'd have on your festival lineup.
Okay.
Tyler Childers, Drake, and Pearl Jam. That is a great mix, and it brings everybody to the festival.
Yeah, he won me with Pearl Jam. Like, I'm not going to.
Well, he won someone with any of those answers.
Yeah, but again, I'm being really nitpicky here. Is he trying to win over people with the answers, or is he giving me an honest answer?
Did he give a douchebag answer or not? That's the criteria. The answer is no, he did not.
It's a douchebag move to try to answer the way you think people
want
to answer.
I don't think he's lying.
He might like them, but he's trying to make people like him. I think that's trying too hard and not being authentic. I could be wrong, but that's how that one comes across.
I think he listens to all three. And I think
it's a good answer. I also think that it's one that, to me, seems a bit contrived in that you're trying to hit every genre. It's like, I don't know. Let me see here. Let's go. Willie Nelson, Lil Wayne, and Nirvana. That, if Kurt Cobain was still
alive. That answer, up until that answer, he was
I'm
doing everything
to
right.
With Cobain dead.
He's wanting me to. He's just wanting saying. Everyone to like him with that answer. But you got to know you're going to have detractors no matter what. So
let's just be blunt. If me, Chad, and Clay are in Knoxville. We're listening to all three of these artists as we go to Neyland Stadium.
Oh, for sure. But he's saying festival. I guess this is like a dream scenario festival lineup, not currently
off
living.
The field interests and hobbies. He pays attention to the stock market, loves movies, and going to the beach.
Don't love it. The stock market one's interesting.
Dude's got his master's degree.
I love movies. Going to the beach. I mean, it's a fine answer. It's not one with a lot of specificity.
For a guy with a girlfriend, I mean, going to the beach is a requirement.
Yep. She had a weekend also. Conceded.
Best celebrity encounter you've ever had. Tom Brady this past summer at the match.
That's good.
It's fair.
That's a good one. I like him on that one.
Movie.
No issues with that
movie
answer.
Movie you can always rewatch.
Uh-oh.
Step Brothers and Talladega Nights.
All right. He's my quarterback now, ladies and gentlemen. He's my guy. That's the best answer yet.
No. I saved the best for last.
Because that's very specific, too.
Best TV show to binge. Succession.
Okay. I think that he should start best over Ryan Tannehill day one.
Best Succession is his favorite currently. Then he says best binge/rewatch is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm in.
Mic drop. And when I saw this, I thought of Chad thinking.
If you would have led with that, you wouldn't even have to give me the other questions.
That's why I ended with it. Because we're going through. I just want to, and if you, what's the criteria? How many other wrong answers would there have to have been
for
him?
He had some wrong answers in there, but the last two correct answers to me completely wins me over.
The good outweighs the bad by far.
Yeah, way better than I expected.
I don't see any bad here. I just see Will Levis, who unfortunately had Mel Kiper call him the best athlete in the NFL draft.
Way better than I expected. The answer on Step Brothers, It's Always Sunny, Succession, Talladega Nights, has me wanting him to start over Ryan Tannehill on day one. Because I guarantee you Ryan Tannehill's answers to this
we have changed
would
the perception.
Be far worse. How much worse would Ryan Tannehill's answers to this questionnaire be?
I don't know how much worse.
In my eyes, knowing Levis.
They would be worse.
Thank you.
They would be worse.
But
they would both agree with their vacation at the beach.
Let me clarify. I don't hate any of his answers. I don't hate them.
Yeah.
There's a couple I could just nitpick and say, feels like he's trying too hard or not being specific enough, but they're all good. And the last two answers are terrific.
He crushed it.
So
I don't know how else he could have answered that any better. Other sports he played in high school, there was one that's baseball. He played third base and shortstop. As you might expect.
That's good. That's a good common crossover sport for quarterbacks.
He was a Patriots fan growing up. He went to training camp. He actually has an autographed football from Mike Vrabel.
I like that he's from Connecticut and he's a Patriots fan. I wouldn't have liked it as much if he was a Patriots fan from Michigan.
He was born in Massachusetts. I know this because I'm looking at his writing.
The rest of his questionnaire?
As long as he's telling the truth. Like Tyler Childers and Drake and Pearl Jam. Newton, Mass.
Where was his dad on draft night?
He was there, wasn't he?
I never saw him. Now, granted, they had like a revolving door of women next to him. Like, it'd be his girlfriend in one moment, then his mom, then one of his sisters, and then someone else. Was he kind of in it? Is that him?
I thought I recall seeing him there.
Well, that previous photo, there's just a guy blurry in the way in the background on the couch.
Michael Levis is his dad's name. His mom's name is Beth.
No, his parents are together. I was curious. I never saw him.
Well, it's because the camera was focused on Will Levis's face.
Well, I think probably
and others.
ESPN execs were saying, hey, Dad, can you get out of the shot? Can we get Sis back in? All right, good. Let's get her back in the shot.
Where's Gia? Bring her back over.
Where's the girlfriend? Excuse me, curly hair. Come back over here, please.
Did we just
need
fall
in
love with Will Levis?
I definitely like him a lot more. Honestly, Hutton, I like him most because of your personal interaction with him.
Okay. Yeah, but just being cool
when
about
you told
it.
Me that story, I was like, okay, he seems cool. When you went up and you didn't confront him, but you were
honest
and said,
I introduced
said,
myself. I was like, hey, man, welcome to
the Titans for drafting you.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to do it. And then he rolled with it, and he said, man, everybody's been crushing me. It's no different.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
I like that.
I'm without kick, and I've been against the pick. Welcome to town. If you beat out Tannehill, certainly win me over, and I hope you have great success. Like,
we need to get him in studio.
It's that simple.
We need to get him in studio. We can play back every mean thing I've said about him. He can respond to it. And then we can end the interview just discussing stepbrothers. We can just go back and forth quoting stepbrothers, me and him.
I told him he was welcome to come on anytime.
Davey met him, too.
Yeah, I sent Davey down to shake his hand. He was cool with you, too, right?
Yeah, no, I came up to him and was very polite, made it to where, I mean, just going into it, I mean, you kind of heard some stories about the guy, but he's very friendly. I told him, like, hey, man, like, welcome to town. I can't say I didn't go as hardcore as Hutton did as saying, like, hey, I've been talking bleep
about
you.
It wasn't hardcore. I was just, you know, it was a friendly admission. Like, hey, man, like.
Hutton physically assaulted him, and then it was fine. Yeah, they hit their sand wedge together out there playing Top Golf. The boys will be boys.
I propose.
He was cool about it, and he didn't give me the idea of he had a big ego based off that interaction. So I did appreciate that.
It's a very
I'm amazed
encounter.
That I'm in New York City and not seeing any celebrities, and you guys stay back in Nashville, and Taylor Swift comes to town. You're golfing with Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean,
you didn't
I
see Quentin Tarantino on this trip.
Hutton's punched him in the balls when he sees him. I mean, you guys are just getting after it.
I didn't go to the Taylor Swift concert, but when I left Top Golf, she started singing Romeo and Juliet, and I'm just like, all right, I got my money's worth. You could just hear it perfectly.
Did you stop and pay your respects to the song?
Yeah, I gave it a good 3 minutes, got in my car, and went off.
Good boy, Davey. Good boy. That's what you do.
Coming
when Taylor plays Love, the name is Love Story. It's the name of the song, right?
I don't know.
When she plays Love Story, you stop whatever you're doing. And you pay your respects to that beauty of a
like
tune.
Like Lee Greenwood.
Everybody stands. Like,
isn't it amazing? Lee Greenwood. I mean, Lee Greenwood's song come on, and there are like people just stand at attention like it's the national anthem.
Did Lee Greenwood ever cut another song that did well other than that one?
The guy is a bowling celebrity based on that song.
Now, granted, I don't know anything
else. We've
been
to how many bowling...
all the time. And he's always got some sort of injury. He's got like a wrist injury. He's walking around with a limp. He's got
always very injured.
I looked up his songs. You have God Bless the USA, and then it's just the Star Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's a one-hit wonder, but to be fair, Francis Scott Key also didn't do a lot more that I recognized other than his one big hit that he made.
Well, we stand at that for a reason.
It's his second national anthem is Lee Greenwood.
Coming up, speaking of Will Levis and just tying in, many have the Titans draft, and they've graded it an A. But you really can't grade drafts, and there are plenty of A's. And I don't know, did you see a D? I didn't see a D grade this past draft. People love Philadelphia's draft, for instance. We're going to go back 3 years to 2020 and see what we were and everyone was saying about certain drafts and compare it to what they have to show for now. That's next on Hot Mic.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
6th and Peabody, our location for Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Chad, exercise that you wanted to try out, and I'm all for.
The beer tasting later? That exercise?
Beer tasting's coming up in about
with the craft
15
beers?
Minutes. Yes.
Good, okay.
Yes.
I'm making sure we're still doing that
the
exercise.
Craft, yeah, the Craft Brewing Conference is in town. You can check us out, by the way, on YouTube. Search out Outkick, and we hope you'll subscribe if you haven't already. Check us out daily here at 6th and Peabody and on social at Outkick. So you can take a look at the grades from a couple of weeks ago. There are plenty of A's handed out. Philadelphia comes to mind. The reports that, oh, everyone loves Howie Roseman.
Sort of a unanimous A.
Yeah, a unanimous A. And by the way, us too. We love the Eagles draft. We won't really be able to see the return on investment for 2 or 3 years. And I love what you brought up a couple of weeks ago. It was like, hey, let's take a look at 3 years ago and see what actually came about. One of the highest graded classes right after the draft was with the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens drafted Patrick Queen and J.K. Dobbins that year. They have Justin Madubuike from Texas A&M.
Good job with that name.
Devin Duvernay. A lot of these players have made big impacts for the Ravens. You get down a bit. There's James Prochet from SMU, 6th-round pick. And I feel like they had good return on investment based on what we see here and who they drafted in 2020.
Yeah, pretty good. Not great.
Not great. This was an A grade.
But so much of the Ravens, I remember this draft class and thinking, so much of my high grade for them is because the identity of the Ravens. Ravens, Steelers, they have a certain identity that when they draft a guy, you think, that's a Raven. I remember thinking about Patrick Queen and what he did at LSU.
Yeah.
And then when the Ravens drafted, I'm thinking, that's the perfect Ravens pick for that defense.
And it's hard not to give them an A in real time. They had 5 picks in the top 100. Davey, you were going through and combing through all the grades. This one jumped out
to
you.
So this one kind of came up. I tried to take a consensus of several experts. I know this was Mel Kiper's highest graded team from the draft in 2020. This was also one of those things, too, where you have to look back for this class. It was the year where a lot of the scouts, coaches, GMs weren't able to meet with the players due to COVID protocols and
unless
stuff of that
Tampa
nature.
Unless you're Tampa Bay with Tom Brady.
Yep. And so there were a few teams that I just kind of highlighted for us to go through. And, I mean, we're going to kick it off with the Ravens. And, we can kind of see where they are now. And
now, Dallas is a different case. High grade. Tell me who you recognize, Chad, on this list. You've got plenty.
This is one that worked out, I would say.
CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs. You've got a starting offensive lineman in this group, Ben DiNucci, who backed up and actually started some games.
Who started some and not been that bad for the Cowboys when he started.
So far,
Davey, this is a class that you said got a good grade also?
Yes, this was a highly graded class.
Okay, that makes sense when you see this now. And so we're basically 2 for 2 on the highly graded classes doing pretty well.
I mean, PFF, they gave this an A-plus right here at the time.
And third on your list for high grades, Minnesota.
Which had a ton of draft capital in this class. And this is one, I mean, obviously you look at, I think there's 14 players that were selected for the Vikings here. Obviously the top name there, Justin Jefferson alone just stands
That's
out.
That's it. Hands done. They land Justin Jefferson. And their reaction at pick 22 in the draft room, priceless. They wanted him. They had another team draft a different receiver ahead of him. And they end up with Justin Jefferson, who's the best receiver in the NFL. Chance to do 2,000 yards for the first time ever.
Is Jeff Gladney still doing things for them?
No.
He passed away.
He passed away.
Okay.
Yes.
Then no. There's your answer to that.
Cameron Dantzler is.
Yes.
And Troy Dye, I believe, is still. And KJ Osborne.
KJ Osborne also jumped out to me. We've got about 15 names on this list, so I'm trying to squint to see all of them.
Okay, poorly graded classes.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it's any list this big anymore after this.
Graded classes. We start with the Green Bay Packers. David.
Which, and with the Packers, too, it's one of those things we haven't been able to – a lot of people are still – jury's still out, but if the jury's still out 3 years later, you probably didn't do a good job.
Jordan Love started all the drama. If you could go back, if you're Green Bay – you don't make this trade. You don't make this pick in the first round.
I mean, this is a bad class.
A.J. Dillon is still the running backup running back for them.
But when you say just in theory, you draft a quarterback in the first round, and we're talking 3 years later, and they've yet to really be the starter,
mm-hmm.
that's a failure, regardless of the circumstances.
And this class was panned across the board. You look at it, everyone's like, why do you not go and get Aaron Rodgers more weapons to work with? And instead, you go ahead and you get his backup, yet you still could have Aaron for another 3 to 4 years. And, I mean, really, Aaron's still playing at a high level, and we just now finally get to see Jordan Love take over this season.
Next up, New England Patriots. And this is where you started to see the dip. This was the draft right after Brady left for Tampa Bay. They had just lost the wild card matchup to the Titans in Foxborough. And they follow it up with a draft class that, again, is not going to come across, Davey, as anything other than worthy of a low grade.
Yeah, and this is also where you look at it from Belichick's perspective, where it's just like, oh, he's going to go find those diamonds in the rough. And it's just not happened with this guy, with this class. I mean, he reached on a kicker in the fifth round. I think that was the first kicker off the board who I don't even think the guy made it out of training camp, if memory serves. But again, like Kyle Duggar, it just, they kind of panned it. And it's, I mean, that looks like the experts were right on this one.
What we're seeing so far is, for the most part, experts were pretty spot on.
Well, these are the highest and the lowest, and they're spot on. And then there are teams in the middle that crushed it that didn't get credit for it. But finally, the other poorly graded class, the Houston Texans. Ross Blacklock, Jonathan Grenard. Grenard is still rushing off the edge. That's pretty much it here, guys. I mean, this is why the Texans are where they are.
Yeah. I mean, they only had 5 picks in this class, not much to work with.
Didn't have a first-round pick.
Yeah, they did not use it to their advantage for sure.
Best classes in hindsight, however. Look at Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Bengals took off around this time. And it starts, of course, with Joe Cool, Joe Burrow. But T. Higgins, who's a number one wide receiver.
In a number two wide receiver role.
Yes. Logan Wilson. And others throughout this. Adeniji is on this, on the offensive line. Chad, this is how you build around a quarterback. You don't only hit the quarterback, you hit on other picks around him.
And if we're regrading the draft 3 years later, this is probably number one or right up there, right? Even though it didn't get an A-plus from the draft experts at the time, we're looking back now and saying A-plus grade.
Yeah, this class averaged around like a B-plus.
Okay.
So not right there at the top, but, I mean, they're on the edge, and obviously we've seen this team make it to the Super Bowl based off this class alone.
We've talked Cowboys, so let's go to the Tampa Bay Bucs. Among the best classes, and this is right after they acquire Tom Brady, Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield Jr., who, you know, is, I believe that Brady faced his dad, right?
Yeah.
That was the big storyline. Keyshawn Vaughn at running back, who helped them towards the end of the year in a role situation, and a handful of others who, you know, special teams worthy. But it starts up front of the offensive
line.
Tyler
Johnson helped them some, too. Fifth rounder.
But when you look at this on paper, it's like, you kind of just turn the next page.
Yeah.
But it helped them go on to win a Super Bowl on this particular year. And worst classes in hindsight. There is a hands-down winner, and it's the Tennessee Titans. Isaiah Wilson.
Mm.
Chad, your thoughts?
Just basically taking a hand grenade and setting it off in your own hand. That's what the Titans did with that pick.
Drafted offensive lineman, offensive tackle from Georgia, Isaiah Wilson, who by the end of the season, by the middle of the season, wasn't wanted in the locker room around the vets. Not by the vets choosing, by the front office choosing. They sent him away to get his mind right. And by the end of the year, as they're trying to make a playoff push, Isaiah Wilson is partying on a boat with hookers. If you don't believe me, Google image it. 61st overall pick. Christian Fulton still on the roster. He's been banged up. Darrington Evans, third-round running back,
no
off the roster.
A
Laurel Murchison, not on the roster. Cole McDonald was a quarterback at Hawaii that no one remembers. And Chris Jackson, a seventh-round pick that stuck around playing special teams.
Rough. Really bad. But what was the grade on the Titans universally?
I believe they got a B or something.
That's an F. It was average. I'm trying to think of, let's see.
It was around a B.
I remember the Isaiah Wilson pick being a head scratcher at the time.
Kiper actually gave him a C+. So he had them closer towards the bottom, but like PFF, from an analytical standpoint, those sights were a lot higher on this
Which
class.
With draft grades is bad.
Now,
I think anytime you get it in the C's, that's when it's really bad.
I want to put this in perspective and why this is important. The Cincinnati Bengals were not the team that they are now when we're looking back on this. Meanwhile, the Titans are coming off of a run where they had just made the AFC Championship game, and they're trying to build around that. And you want to see how fast you can fall. You have a draft like this, and you want to see a riser. Look at Cincinnati. Also, look at Arizona, who's among the worst drafts in this particular class and where they are now. They had just drafted Kyler Murray the draft prior. They had the eighth overall selection. They go with Isaiah Simmons, who's listed as a linebacker, but plays safety, plays on the line of scrimmage. He doesn't have an assigned position, and he's the eighth overall pick, and he still doesn't have an assigned position.
Yep.
Josh Jones, Rashard Lawrence on the defensive line, Eno Benjamin's a late-round pick. None of these guys are factors for what the Cardinals are trying to rebuild instead of build upon. Mentioned the Patriots, and then finally the Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders, Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnett, Brian Edwards, who, by the way, I loved, but is just a reception, possession receiver. And then that's it. That's how quickly you can get fired.
And I remember loving this class. And it's a lot of SEC guys, right? With Lynn Bowden Jr. also from Kentucky, who was a great two-way player, quarterback, mm-hmm. wide receiver for them, do-everything guy.
Gadget guy.
Brian Edwards, another do-everything guy. But it's, once again, sort of guys without a position.
And they had two first-round picks in this. Went with Ruggs, who on the field is as dynamic as they come. We know and now he's
yesterday pled guilty to vehicular homicide.
Yes, and then Arnett, who everyone thought was overdrafted, turns out they were right, and this was Mike Mayock. This is Mike Mayock and John Gruden, who are no longer with the franchise. Chad, I think the exercise is interesting because the overall perception can be reality on the top of the line. You know, the highest graded classes kind of meet up with where you actually think those players are. Meanwhile, I bet this class got a high grade, and they're among the worst. And it's due in large part to two first-round picks. That's going to help you because a lot of the draft analysts are going to have these players as first-round picks, so they want to be right, and they're going to give you an A-plus based on those two picks because they also had them in the first round.
Always wondered if human nature, if you're a draft analyst, you're Mel Kiper, you're Todd McShay, and Mike Mayock, who went from being draft analyst to GM, I wonder if that would cloud your judgment, good or bad, on his classes.
He's got to help you. Because those guys have all thought about what they would do in a front office.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like when they're giving grades out, I wonder how that colors their opinion of his draft class. If they had a rivalry with him as a draft analyst, does it make them lean a little bit negative towards it or positive because he's someone from their industry that moved on and crossed over to NFL GM.
What's your takeaway from what we did, just looking back 3 years?
It was, to me, shockingly pretty spot on in terms of the really good classes with the good grades and the bad classes, the bad grades. I think the big takeaway is the classes in the middle that at the time would be, you know, B minus C plus grade that turned out to be A plus.
The one thing I do
like Cincinnati.
I do want to add about this class that you seldom ever see, but there were four quarterbacks drafted in the first round in 2020, and all three, well, the first three, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, all had their fifth year option exercise, and we just saw Jordan Love agree to a contract extension by 1 year.
That's true.
It's rare that you
instead of the fifth year option.
One gets the benefit of not having played Jordan Love, so we don't really know yet on him.
Hit us up with your reaction. You can join Chad in the chat on Outkick through the YouTube channel coming up. We will hit some other headlines, get you ready for the tip-offs across the NBA, and check out what's on tap here at Yeehaw with the Brewing Company and Sixth and Peabody. That's next on Hotline.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Glad you've been with us throughout the show. Chad, do you think Philadelphia closes it out tonight in the series with Boston? I do.
I do, too.
They're back home.
I'm in on Philly.
Okay.
So,
and
Eastern Conference
or...
Finals will be Philly and Miami, and I think we're going to see Lakers-Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. I hope both those series live up to what the second round was, which was fantastic. These series have been great, and I hope the Conference Finals will be the same.
Hopefully just more of the same of the NBA playoffs with good games on tap.
Well, I'm
tonight.
Hoping for long series once we get to the conference finals and then the finals also.
I know Phoenix was down, but with Durant, who knows?
They're down, but they're not out.
I'd be down if this happened in my apartment. So there's a video of a guy. There's a pest control company with one of their employees urinating all over the floor. For an apartment complex that uses this pest control company under contract, chasing a cat around the room. And, you know, I guess he did actually spray the pesticides.
Is this how he sprays?
But he's peeing on the floor, the couch, the kid's toy box, and then he notices a camera on the wall. Stories at outkick.com. Chad, what would you do if you found this based on just cameras, you know, in the home, you know, motion detectors or whatever?
I would want him both fired and prosecuted.
Yeah, this is sick.
For vandalism. I mean, I would go all out to make sure that he was arrested and paid a hefty fine or served jail time and also could never work in pest control again.
The family spent over $4,000 replacing the carpet, the couch, and other items that had been urinated on. When asked why he decided to urinate in the family's living room, he gave a crazy answer. He said that he was having a bad day and he was sick of people.
Well, at least he was honest. It's not that crazy to me. We've all had bad days. I mean, we're sick of people at times.
You knew he was on camera,
the
right?
Only difference is between that guy and the rest of us is we don't walk into someone's living room and piss on the floor. That's the biggest difference.
David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to add, this was actually the owner of the pesticide company.
It was the owner.
So, yeah, but he is facing criminal charges. The worst part about this, though, is the family didn't...
Owner or not.
They didn't realize... like this had happened until like a couple of days later when they went back and checked and the man actually peed on their daughter's like toy box. So she was actually like playing with those toys after the fact. So, I mean, that just makes it even worse. This guy's just like, yeah, like you said, I'm just having a bad day. It's like, well, then, I mean, what even crosses your mind to do something like this?
Go pee outside.
He's drunk.
Yeah, that could also be it. Drunk, bad day.
Yeah.
Hates kids, just apparently.
Just Stetson Bennett.
Wait a minute, let's zoom in on that guy again.
The cats are just staring at him as he's peeing on the furniture.
It's maybe one of the saddest photos ever taken. Two cats just playing.
I mean, there's one thing
whimsically
for sure,
in the background, guys peeing
not,
on some furniture.
One thing's for sure, this guy's not sober, right?
I wouldn't think so. He's on something.
Yeah, he could have had a better beer though from Yeehaw Brewing Company.
We're about to not be sober.
Craft Brewers Conference continues. Chad, you're trying the Red Rye IPA made right here in Music City.
Brooke loves a nice rye, I think I heard,
malty,
right?
Malty yet dry spiciness from the multiple different rye malts used. Your thoughts?
Oh, this is good. This is good. Complete opposite reaction that I had to that tart raspberry beer yesterday. This one right here, this sticks.
I'm going with the White Oak Rye IPA, made here in Nashville as well, here at 6th and
Sorry, Brooke, I'm drinking this one.
Aged on American white oak chips to really blend all of the flavors together.
White oak chips?
White oak chips.
Is there a method to
and that's
beer
very
tasting?
Good. That's very good as
do
well.
Do you smell it? Do you do the wine thing?
I don't
thing?
Do anything like that.
Do you reverse it in, or you just taste
you
it?
You just drink beer, Chad.
That's what I like about beer. You just drink it.
Chad, you've been... I'm gonna try the one you've already tried, which is the Carolina Classic. You go with the cold IPA.
Okay.
This hops give an aroma and a flavor of tropical fruit. and citrus. This is the cold IPA from Greenville, South Carolina. I'm going with the Carolina Classic, also from Greenville, a clean, crisp American lager.
It's a great beach beer.
Cheers. It's been a great week. I realize it's Thursday. They're wrapping up the conference today. It's been a great week with Yeehaw Brewing Company.
And a special shout out to Old Smokey and Yeehaw, great partners of ours here. We're here every day, downtown, 6th and Peabody Studio. But great host to us. We've made a lot of friends within the company, and always fun being here in Hutton. We look right outside every day, and it's a party going on right outside the studio. We hope to bring some of that party into the studio with us. That's why we have random beer tastings. When they have a craft beer festival going on in town, you know what we're going to do? We're going to enjoy some of that beer.
They gave out their world awards last night here at 6th and Peabody for all the craft brewers. Tomorrow, we've got full reaction to the NFL schedule. We know all the top games, at least some of them, from across Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, doubleheaders, Black Friday games.
We also know the culprit who did not vote Nikola Jokic in the top five of their MVP voting. We will have that for you tomorrow.
He's a well-known name.
We know the culprit, and you know the name.
Join us.
You know it.
3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central. We will be live across the Outkick Network for Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hope you'll join us for Fridays. We send you to the weekend.
Say my name.